morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. You can follow along in your Bible or on the screen, and if anyone needs a Bible, please let us know. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, just to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Kevin. And thank you, Taylor and Terry. Wow, right? Who felt the movement of the Holy Spirit in here? Amen. Thank you both. We are continuing our series in one of Jesus' most powerful, most challenging teachings, the Sermon on the Mount. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Beatitudes, which are attitudes that we need to be rather than just aspire to be if we are to be citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that teaches us that what it means to be happy or blessed is quite different from how the culture defines it. Last week we talked about the antitheses, where Jesus took an Old Testament law and did not abolish it, but rather raised the bar on it, that we're not just to settle for pure actions, but also pure motives, pure thoughts, that we're not just loving our neighbors, but also loving our enemies. So far, we've learned that Jesus said a lot of things that would be considered quite radical in our culture. And we wonder if he really meant it or if he was just speaking to the people of his time. Now, to be sure, the things that Jesus taught definitely take the values of our culture and turn them completely upside down. But being a true disciple of Jesus Christ means we have to think different, we have to be different, and we have to live different from the culture. So today we're looking at how Jesus defines how we practice piety, religion, and authenticity. And he begins by saying things like, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. When you give to the needy, don't announce it. When you pray, don't stand in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others, but go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. So you might be thinking, well, what is wrong with practicing these disciplines in the company of others? What about corporate worship? What about mission and ministry teams? Are we not supposed to tell congregations about how we help other people? You know, are we not supposed to pray in public? What about the whole where two or three are gathered in my name thing? You know, what about unity in the body of Christ? Now Jesus is telling us we have to do these things in isolation. Atheists and agnostics love to take this passage of Scripture, among many others, and will use it to try to get you to believe that the Bible cannot be trusted because it contradicts itself. It does not. It does not contradict itself. Jesus is not saying to avoid public worship or prayer or giving. He's saying be careful how you do them. Because spiritual disciplines can be practiced generally one of two ways. One is to grow closer to God, and the other is to look impressive to other people. One is practice, the other is performance. And Jesus says when faith becomes performance, we may gain attention, we may gain the admiration of our peers, but we lose the reward that truly matters. And Jesus made an example of the Pharisees by highlighting three specific disciplines that were very important to the Pharisees: almsgiving, praying, and fasting. And then saying, the way they're doing that, don't do that. Don't be like them. The word hypocrite, he calls them hypocrites. That word means somebody who is playing a role, somebody who is acting, somebody who is wearing a mask. And Jesus is saying, don't role play with me. Don't play pretend with me. Don't just go through the motions living out your faith with the wrong motives. If what we do spiritually is to receive the recognition of men, we rob ourselves of the blessing and we rob God of the glory. And Jesus gives a sober warning here. He says, they have received their reward in full. Not to mean that he has already rewarded them for their good deeds, but what he's actually saying is if applause is what they wanted, applause is all they're going to get. Jesus offers another way. He says, do not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And that's just a poetic way of saying, give in such a way that even your ego does not get involved. You know, quiet generosity cultivates a heart that loves people more than recognition. And when you do that, Jesus says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Is it wrong to pray publicly? No. The problem is not praying in public. The problem is the audience. Some people pray to talk to God. Others pray to impress people. One is communion. The other is performance. In that culture, they had these practices where three times a day, they would sound a horn. And no matter what you were doing, no matter where you were at that time, when the horn sounded, you stopped what you were doing and you prayed. But what happened was these religious leaders would find out when the horn was going to sound, and they would make sure that they were out in the public eye when it happened. And then when the horn would sound, they would start praying these loud, elaborate prayers for all to see. They were showboating because they wanted to appear to people as pious, important, someone people would look up to and say, wow, I would love to be able to pray like that. Jesus says, no, you don't. Don't be like them. When we are pursuing God and He is changing us, there is this pride that, if we're not careful, can creep in without us even knowing it. Because we sort of like the idea that people know we are growing in our faith. You know, we like getting a pat on the back or a little recognition for the good deeds that we do. Jesus wants us to be sure that we audit those attitudes and behaviors, that our disciplines, that our growing in grace is about growing closer to Him and not about showing people how much we're doing or how much we're growing. He also wants us to make sure that we are praying in the secret places and not just corporately. You know, if the only time I prayed was on Sunday morning when I stand up in front of all of you, if I go home on Sunday afternoon and I don't utter another word to God until I stood up before you the next Sunday, what would that say about me? Right? I can't very well say that my life is about honoring God if I'm only praying in the presence of others. You ever stood next to someone who is praying and you thought, wow, like, that was beautiful. Like, the prayer just rolled off their tongue, and they just said all the right things, and you just thought, man, my prayers sound nothing like that. My prayers are awkward. Sometimes I don't even know what to say, and I struggle to find the right words. For me, praying is kind of like tripping up the steps. Do any of you ever feel that way? And then you hear somebody pray this eloquent prayer, and you're like, my gosh, they must be so close to God to be able to pray that way. Listen, I love the sound of a beautiful poetic prayer. I really do. But I believe what Jesus loves more than that is just for us to be real with Him, right? He doesn't expect us to know all the right things to say. It doesn't have to sound intellectual. It doesn't have to sound scholarly. Like, He just wants you to talk to Him as if He were sitting right across the table from you. So this emphasis on going in your room and shutting the door, that's because in that place, you know you can be real. In the secret place, that motive to pretend to be somebody you're not, that goes away. You know, there's no expectation there. There's nothing holding you back. You don't have to suppress your tears or your anger or frustration. You don't have to worry about how awkward you're going to sound. And if we're honest, our best prayers are prayed when we're alone with God, because we can be fully open and not worry about what other people are going to think. And until you have gotten to the heart of who you are in God, then how authentic do you think your prayers are going to be in public? So it's not that we shouldn't pray in public. We should. But we need to pray in the quiet places before we pray in public. In 2014, Pew Research did a survey, and they found that approximately 55% of Americans prayed every day. And then 21% said they prayed weekly, maybe even monthly. And then another 23% said they seldom prayed or never. So assuming those statistics are still the same, a little more than half of Americans pray every day. And about half pray much, much less. Now, before you call me a pessimist, we need to consider that if we are to live for the kingdom, if we're to be citizens of the kingdom of God, if we're to have Jesus-sized dreams, we have to care about those bottom two numbers just as much as we care about the top number, because until prayer becomes an essential part of who we are and not just a safety net or a panic button, we will not experience transformation, and we will not be able to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Jesus modeled for us how we're to pray, but even that becomes routine, right? We pray the Lord's Prayer, but how often do we actually stop and think about what those words mean, and are we actually practicing it? How often do you think about it? Or do you just pray it because it's automatic? Let's think about the Lord's Prayer. It starts, "Our Father in heaven." So prayer begins with relationship. "Hallowed be your name." So prayer begins with praise and reverence of God and not just coming to him with our list of requests and demands. "Your kingdom come, your will be done." So prayer reorients us from our agenda to God's agenda. "Give us today our daily bread." Prayer acknowledges dependence, right? Not just when things are tough, but every day. Every day, we are to lean into God, acknowledging that apart from him, we can do nothing. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." So prayer cleanses our hearts, right? We talked about this. It removes the toxins, resentment, bitterness. "Lead us not into temptation." Prayer recognizes our weaknesses. It reminds us that we are finite, limited creatures who serve an infinite, limitless God. And it helps us stay on the path to wholeness. Prayer isn't performance. It is dependence on God. How often do you pray the Lord's Prayer with a deep, deep desire to know him and to be changed by him from the inside out? Or do we just pray it because it's the next thing in the order of worship? Or because, you know, hey, I know that when I can pray it with my eyes closed, check me out. This is why we change the breakthrough prayer with every sermon series, so that it doesn't become routine, that it's not just words that we speak. It forces us to think about something new and have it take root in our hearts, maybe in a way that it hasn't before. Jesus says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do." Apparently, some of these people fasted in ways to make sure everyone noticed they were doing it. You know, they would make themselves start to look a little frail and pasty and putrid, and people would look at them and go, "Wow, they must be very spiritual." Again, Jesus says they got their reward. They got the attention they were seeking. But God desires something deeper. He says, "Put oil on your head and wash your face." In other words, just go about your day normally. Let fasting be something between you and God. Because fasting is not about showing people how spiritual you are. It is about creating space in your life for God to come in and do his work. If you've ever seen a large oak tree, you know how impressive they are, right? They can grow to be 70 to 80 feet tall. Their branches stretch wide. Their leaves fill the sky. But what makes those trees strong isn't about what you see above the ground. It's what's happening below the ground. Oak trees develop root systems that stretch deep and wide. The roots sometimes spread 2 to 3 times the width of the branches, if you can imagine that. So the strength of the tree depends on a hidden system underground that nobody sees. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6. Prayer, generosity, fasting, these are the roots of spiritual life. They need to happen underground, quiet, hidden, unnoticed. Those hidden practices are what sustain a life that grows tall and strong in the kingdom of God. The public fruit of faith is sustained by private roots with God. And Jesus keeps repeating the same phrase. He says, "Your Father who sees what is done in secret." That phrase appears 3 times in this passage. And the reason for that is because Jesus is trying to tell us, God cares more about what is happening in your hidden life than in your public life. Every meaningful spiritual transformation happens in secret places. In generosity, no one applauds. In moments of surrender, no one sees. These are the moments that shape our hearts. So the question Jesus is asking in this passage is, when you pray and fast and give, who are you doing it for? Are we performing our righteousness or practicing it? Are we seeking the praise of people or the presence of God? And if we choose the latter, Jesus promises, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, not with applause, but with something even better. He fills you with the stuff that only He can fill you with. Now, we might look to the example of the Pharisees in this passage, and we might be tempted to think that's wildly immature. Like, I don't think that's a problem for me. But we live in a culture where we measure our worth by recognition from our peers, right? Nobody's gonna nod to that? Okay. You know, people don't just go on vacation anymore. They document it. And when someone climbs to the top of a mountain, what's the first thing they do? They take a selfie and they post it online, right? And when we make a really fancy dinner, I gotta post this on my Instagram, right? When someone completes a fitness challenge, everyone in their world hears about it. There's even this phrase that people use now, pics or it didn't happen. So in other words, if no one saw it, did it even count? But Jesus introduces a completely different idea. In God's kingdom, some of the most important things we do are never seen, never posted, never shared. A tearful conversation with God in the car, we don't post about that, do we? A moment when we choose what is right over what is easy. A generous gift that remains anonymous. Nobody on earth saw it, but your Father in heaven sees it. No likes, no comments, no followers. Just the quiet approval of heaven. And in the end, that is the audience that matters the most. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving Father, you are the God who sees what others cannot see. The quiet prayers whispered in the night, the small acts of kindness no one applauds, the hidden struggles of the heart. Lord, forgive us for the times where we have been more concerned with how we appear than with who we truly are before you. Cleanse our hearts from pride, from this desire for recognition, from the temptation to perform our faith instead of living it. Teach us to seek you in the quiet places. Draw us into deeper prayer, deeper generosity, and deeper trust in you. Help us to live each day not for the applause of people, but for the joy of simply walking close with you. As we go from this place, may our lives reflect that simple, faithful devotion that honors you, knowing that you, our Father, see what is done in secret and delight in your children. We offer our hearts again to you this day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.